Redemption. Not something you typically stand around the water cooler or the coffee pot at the office and talk about. It's probably not the topic of conversation as people gather around the table with friends to eat dinner at a nice restaurant. It's probably not what the guys on the roof shingling are laughing about. And it's probably not what you read about in your spare time. In fact, we may be even a little fuzzy about what redemption really means. Merriam-Webster defines redemption as the act of redeeming, kind of like redeeming coupons at the checkout at Kroger. It's not all that helpful, is it? But if you go further and look up redeeming, there are several definitions. The first two being to buy or win back, and to free from captivity, especially by paying a ransom. Captivity, servanthood, and slavery, all terms related to redemption, and not something that we think pertains to us. They are not words that we would use to describe ourselves. But we may be surprised. Slavery is one of the permanent blights on our nation's history. It's a universal human spectacle. Every generation and culture has seized other people and treated them as property. We are not alone in our deplorable behavior, but that doesn't diminish the collective shame for our nation's history. It is nothing short of sin. And do not think it's a mere coincidence that slavery has been undone in the Western world because of the tireless and faithful work of Christians. Whether it was William Wilberforce in England or the abolitionist movement here in the United States, faith in Christ was a driving force that prompted many to say that they could not look the other direction as those whom God created and for whom Christ died were being held in slavery. When you know that God has declared somebody worthy of his son's blood being shed, you just cannot put a price on them. God has declared them as priceless. So in response to God's declaration, our brothers and sisters in Christ fought against slavery and won. But don't think that that war is over, because slavery is not something isolated to the past. It is very much a present reality. Today we speak of it as human trafficking. The statistics will make you shudder. Here's just a sampling. According to the FBI, human trafficking is the third largest criminal activity in the world today. While prostitution may be the first thing that comes to mind when you think about human trafficking, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service reports that while 22% of the victims of human trafficking are indeed forced into prostitution, the remaining 78% are forced into other forms of labor. It's estimated that between 20 and 30 million people are enslaved today by means of human trafficking. The U.S. State Department reports that more than 17,000 foreign nationals are trafficked into our country each year. It's sobering to think that so many are sold into slavery and brought into our nation. We have a hard time believing that this could happen in the United States. Human trafficking is something that you see on TV, that happens in other less civilized countries. Yet, even more troubling is the estimate that 100,000 American children are trafficked every year without even crossing the border. They're born here and they're enslaved here. Human trafficking is not isolated just to adults. 26% of all that are trafficked worldwide are children. Slavery is still very real, and it's right next door. It calls us to action, and it opens our eyes to see our own role in slavery. But here is another harsh reality. You are a slave. That's why the Lord speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah, calling us to return to the Lord, for he alone redeems you from slavery. You are a slave. Let that sink in for a moment. Your first reaction to such news may be like those who refused to listen to Christ in John chapter 8. They said, "We have never been enslaved to anyone." To which Jesus responds, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Jesus will not let us dodge and deny reality. He calls us to attention. "Truly, truly, I say to you." That is Jesus' way of not only getting our attention, but letting us know the ironclad reality of the words that he speaks. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. You are a slave. That is never clearer than when it comes to those sins that you repeat time and time again. You hate it. You don't like that you scream at your family, but you are enslaved by rage. You hate yourself as soon as everyone else is out of eyeshot. With two quick clicks of the mouse, you're viewing pornography. The pictures you look at may even involve somebody who's been trafficked. But you are every bit as much a slave. You are enslaved by your addiction to porn. And then there are all the other addictions that take hold. Alcoholism and substance abuse. They wreak havoc in our homes, in our community. The victims come from every race and every class. The victims include the alcoholic and the drug addict, their parents, their spouses, their children, their employers, their employees, and their fellow congregational members, and others. Even when they hit rock bottom and they want nothing more than to be free of this addiction, they struggle to change their behavior because they are enslaved by their sin. Each of us has sold ourselves into slavery. Whatever sin you cannot escape, that one that you repeat daily even though you hate it, that sin is your master. And it chains you to the natural consequence of your sin. Isaiah speaks to Jerusalem regarding their sin of idolatry. They trust in anything and everything other than the Lord himself. The natural consequence of their idolatry is coming. When you do not trust in the only one that can protect and defend you, then you are vulnerable to invasion and defeat. That's what Jerusalem faces, invasion and defeat at the hands of the Babylonians. We stand with Jerusalem. We are chained to the natural consequences of the sin to which we are enslaved. Your family is alienated, your body is crushed, and your mind is warped by addiction. You face losing your job, your finances are teetering on the brink, and you are powerless to do anything about it. You are enslaved, controlled by an unforgiving master, chained to the horrific consequences of your sin. You need redemption. You need a redeemer. You need someone who will pay the price for you. You have sold yourself into slavery. You cannot redeem yourself. Someone else must come to pay your redemption, to set you free. The Lord sends his prophet Isaiah to you this very day to proclaim to you that you have a redeemer who has made the payment for you. The Lord says in verse 22, "Return to me, for I have redeemed you, that you may not doubt him." The Lord repeats his promise of redemption. The Lord has redeemed Jacob, from verse 23. And if that weren't enough, he gives you a third proclamation. "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer," from verse 24. The Lord delights in being your Redeemer, the one and only one who pays the price in full to set you free from your captivity to sin. And there's more. He lets you know how the redemption takes place. He says that it happens through a shepherd.
He is my
shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose, from verse 28. When Isaiah first carries this promise from the Lord to the Israelites, he's speaking of Cyrus, who would be the Persian ruler more than two centuries later. The Lord would use Cyrus to set his people free from exile in Babylon. What happens beautifully through Cyrus finds greater fulfillment, a full fulfillment, in another shepherd, the Good Shepherd, our Savior Jesus Christ, who does even more than redeem us from physical slavery. He pays the price to set us free from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. That is the wonderful language of a small catechism, as it confesses what your Good Shepherd has done for you, from the second article of the Apostles' Creed. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own. He has redeemed you by paying a price. Not just anything or anyone can purchase you so that you may be free from your slavery to sin, death, and the power of the devil. Only one price is sufficient. Only one payment will satisfy: the blood of Christ shed for you, his suffering and death. He does it all so that you may belong to him. No longer will you be chained to your sin and its consequences. No longer will you be a slave. No longer will you live in bondage. His redemption is all about removing your sin, the very thing that enslaved you. Listen to the word of the Lord, your Redeemer, from Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. That is why we return to him. Slavery to sin causes us constantly to return to our sin, committing it over and over, even though we despise it. We keep returning to sin because we are enslaved. But when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. You return to him not because you are bound by chains, because you are free. You live in the joy and freedom of the one who has been purchased and set you free. You live in joy and freedom. Listen one more time to the word of the Lord spoken by his prophet Isaiah. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. You are free, so sing. Sing with joy before the Lord, for he has done it. Join with all creation, the heavens above, the depths of the earth, the mountains, the forest, and all its trees, and sing. Sing because you are free. Your slavery is over. Return to the Lord, for your redemption is complete. Amen.